Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Time to break down the tape. Big. Bad Film Study with Ken McCusick. Your home for the most Ravens coverage. 105.7 The Fan.
We're here with Ken McCusick from Film Study Baltimore. Good morning to you, Ken.
How's it going, Rob?
Going well. I wanted Kool-Aid McKinstry. I was all over him because I thought there's no way in the world Nate Wiggins would be available at pick number 30. But when I kept seeing that board fall and fall, if Nate Wiggins falls to them, they got to get him. They got him. I love that pick. To me, he's the most skillful corner in the draft.
Completely agree. My number one cornerback on the board, I thought it was a complete fantasy. They'd get him at number 30.
Yeah, this is in your notes. Fantasy to think the Ravens would have a shot at him at 30.
What's great about him is the athletic gifts are well-known and well-measured, and we knew about that. But the coverage metrics corroborate the outstanding gifts. That's what's really fantastic. In 2023, allowed 4.3 yards per target. They threw at him a lot, and it was right in the middle of all the cornerbacks, the top 190 in terms of snaps. About 87th in terms of how frequently he's targeted, which means it was a high volume of snaps that he held up to at 4.3 yards per target. High volume of targets, I should say. 44.4 opposition passer rating. Had only one penalty the entire season. He is a very exciting player. Trusts his recovery speed entirely.
Real quick, Jeremy. His longest play that he gave up was the Taz Walker, a 43-yard play. After that, the longest play he gave up, 18-yard play.
Yeah, good player. Now, as the draft kind of broke down there and you were looking at the first round, talked about it would be great if he was there. Was he 100% the pick because he was there, or as it was going, who were you kind of interested in at that point?
Absolutely hoping the Ravens would solve their left tackle issue, and I think every team ahead of the Ravens, or a lot of them, were thinking that way. We heard about teams trading up. And the big thing about getting the left tackle problem solved, a very deep draft for left tackles, and they had a number of good ones on the board, and there probably was going to be somebody left at 30, but then things started to go wrong. Wheels came off the cart very quickly when the Chargers picked Joe Ault at number 5. And then at number 11, the Jets were supposed to take Brock Bowers, actually at 10, but they traded back one spot. And then they end up taking Fashanu. Mm-hmm. So that's two teams that didn't really need a left tackle who got a left tackle, and that killed the Ravens. That took off the
board. It did kill the Ravens, no doubt about it. Here with Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, we had six quarterbacks, right?
Six.
In the first round?
By pick 12.
Were they, in your opinion, all first-round worthy?
Probably not.
Where did the reach begin?
Yeah, I did think all of them had a chance to be drafted by 29, but then they all get drafted by 12, which is just ridiculous. The Chargers, the Falcons
Did you guys hear what the Bo Nix, the Denver Broncos, what locked them into him?
No.
Is that when he showed up for their interview in his backpack, this feels like it was out of draft day with Kevin Costner, that he had all football stuff in his backpack. That's all he had.
Oh, cool.
Football stuff, which, okay, that's cool. That's what put him over the top for you? I mean, come on, man. There was a story out about that, and it's just like, This just seems so ridiculous. I'm happy for the Ravens that six quarterbacks went in the first round, but Jesus, come on. Watch the talent that was there. Anyway.
And then your boy Spencer Rattler in the fifth round is the next one. He's the middle class.
And they're saying that he slid because, or at least some of the excuses from that Netflix series that he was on, mm-hmm. that people noticed some habits from the, whatever.
Some habits.
There's some different things about him they didn't like, and that's why he slipped in the draft.
You know, I know some things, habits they didn't like, too.
Throwing the ball together.
Yeah. It's a lot of habits.
But, hey, with the offensive line, you talked about getting your tackle, having your guy. What do you think about what they did with Rosengarten? Because I'm going to have fun with this name for years, but it seemed like playing on the right side, too, we kind of know what the offensive line is going to look like next year.
Yeah, I think he steps in at right tackle right away. I don't think the Ravens have an overwhelming option there already in Falele. Rosengarten's kind of a consolation prize in terms of what he is, in all honesty. He's quick-footed, which is good. You always want that out of your tackle. At 4.92, I think he was the fastest offensive lineman at this combine, which is nice because the Ravens run a lot of counter plays. He'll have to trail on those plays and do a good job. And I think they'll make use of his quickness in the run game, even though he did not grade well. By the way, as a run blocker in college, I think he will with the Ravens once he learns how to do things the D'Alessandris way. And as a pass blocker, he's faced with a lot of challenges. He doesn't have a lot of sand in the pants. He needs to gain about 15 to 25 pounds, or 15 to 20 pounds, I guess I would say, to play at a weight where he's not going to be very vulnerable to the bull rush. He's got a very vertically aligned frame. He's not a pear shape. He's an apple-shaped guy, as I sometimes say. And the national championship game was probably it was his worst game of the year, no doubt about it. But he had a really awful game. Gave up about 10 pressures in that game as I scored it. And the guys he was giving up to were like Jalen Harrell, a 7th-round pick in this draft, and Braden McGregor, who was a UDFA to the Jets. And a couple guys are going to be in the 25 draft, Josiah Stewart and Derek Moore. So it wasn't great players who were beating him. The feet are there, and hopefully he can be a better tackle and with the Ravens coaches be a better player. But kind of a consolation prize and a little bit of a reach still in round two at 62.
Ken McCusick joins us from filmstudybaltimore.com. We will get back to some of the picks and analyze the actual players. But when you look at Eric DaCosta and the scouts and all these guys in the front office, and going back to Ozzie, does it not seem like the Ravens just have a formula in the system that's just unique and unlike no other in this draft with their history?
Yeah, I mean, any way you slice it, going back to the beginning of Ravens history, the Ravens, the Packers, and the Steelers have the three best drafting teams by far. And you go the same thing and you see that the Lions, the Browns have the worst couple. So it's not really a big shock year after year when the Ravens come up with the – and they had another value draft. They did a good job in the first – 4 rounds, 5 picks of getting real value picks on at least 4 of the 5 of them, I thought.
Any real big shockers to you? I mean, everybody talked about Michael Penix Jr. We read this stuff, you're studying it the entire time, and then all of a sudden you see this guy goes or somebody slips in the draft. Like, I thought Kool-Aid dropped a little bit. Rob talked about how much he liked him. But again, we're talking about guys that are evaluating talent and then other guys that are evaluating talent from watching film and breaking it down. And I think there's a vast difference from the guys that are doing the mock drafts to the guys that are actually watching all this stuff.
I think the Chiefs moving up to get Xavier Worthy was surprising to me. I didn't think they had to, and they did. I thought there were other surprises, and I'd have to like go through again to really think about which ones. But Worthy, the Chiefs moving up, I was pretty sure they were going to take Guyton.
But, you know, the same thing, because like people were talking about the Buffalo Bills trading out, and are you making the Chiefs better by giving them a speedster? The Bills traded back multiple times. Yeah. We've seen some teams do things that like we didn't expect. A lot of people, you mentioned the Steelers having a great draft.
Excellent draft.
Yeah, you start to look at it, and then you'll look at teams that traditionally do the silly things. Like when you and I talk before the draft, it's like, what do the Raiders do?
Yes.
You know, that's what we were waiting on. So I just think sometimes you get some goofiness.
Maybe that's the surprising pick, is that the Raiders took an actual first-round worthy pick in Brock Bowers in the first round. And that was actually a downer for me when they didn't have a wild card pick.
Ken McCusick joining us in studio for one more segment. On the other side, Ken, I want to ask you, I want you to answer this question. Did the Ravens get a quality pass rusher or another project? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The Big Bad Morning Show with Rob Long, Ed Norris, and Jeremy Kahn. Sponsored by IG Burton Buick. Experience the new Buick at IG Burton Buick. 105.7 The Fan.
You know what I love? Jeremy had 5 minutes to ask Kim McCusick some questions. He asked him with 10 seconds left in the break.
So go ahead, Ken. Is there anything specifically you want me to ask you?
Ken McCusick joins us for Film Study Baltimore.
Shut up, Rob. You weren't even in here.
So, Ken, Ravens drafted a pass rusher, Adisa Isaac from Penn State, another Penn State pass rusher. Mm-hmm. Did they draft a quality pass rusher now? I'm not talking about potential. Or did they draft another project?
He's ahead of where Adafi Owe was at the same time. He was 31st among 875 college edge players in terms of pass rush productivity. So that's good. He is a guy who may or may not have some trouble against the run. He has some Sam characteristics. Dropped to coverage about 11.7% of snaps. So he's a guy who may do several things for this team. Very valuable to have a guy who can play on that Sam side, by the way. They can't keep going back to the Van Noy well year after year. They have to find somebody actually younger who can do that and who can drop to coverage, which allows them to have a lot of flexibility with that pass rush.
TJ Tampa has to be allowed to wear the number two, right?
Well, Wiggins or hers went too.
Well, they're going to have a talk about it because this Tampa 2 thing, you're going to love it. But PFF said the Ravens got their fourth and eighth graded cornerbacks. I know you said you liked Wiggins the best.
It's like 1 and 6 for me.
Was it 1 and 6? Okay, yeah. So talk to me a little bit about TJ Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, very similar also. I did have a lower 40 number for him at 445. I've heard others say as high as 459. I'm not sure it matters all that much. Tampa is a very physical corner, 6'1", 189, but one of the things I noticed is he does very good things in phase with the receiver. Now, what I mean by that is when he's running stride for stride with the receiver down the field, he's a good arm checker, and that tends to really annoy a receiver and slow them down, mm-hmm. And it's oftentimes what slower corners like an Ike Taylor or even a Jimmy Smith would do to guide their player towards the sideline to distract them and to make them slower and not take the most efficient route. Tampa had that, and by the way, his other metrics are quite good in terms of size and length and whatnot, but 4.9 yards per target in his case, an opposition passer rating of 54.8, so nice corroborating statistics there.
All right, here with Ken McCusick. Ken, you have, when I look at two words, very disappointing, when you talk about a draft of a wide receiver. We got a wide receiver who has questionable route running and questionable hands, and you put the two words very disappointing in front of Yak.
Very disappointing Yak and very disappointing on hitch routes. Those are the two things about DeVontez Walker. He was number 12 on my wide receiver group. Let's not say that he's a bust. I think he's a great value pick.
Okay.
But he's mostly, right now, he's just mostly a go route guy. And part of the problem is that the Ravens don't really have a backup X with him for Bateman. He's more of a guy who's got to play on the other side of the field. My X receiver, I want to be able to run the full route tree because he's being given a lot of the offensive space budget
right.
that my team has
right.
is on that left side when he's all alone in typical formations. And he's got to go out there. He's got to wiggle on that cornerback, make him make the wrong move, and then do something with that space. Honestly, that was a problem of Bateman's too last year with only 2.0 yak. But DeVontez Walker, for a man his size, no way in hell should he be at 2.8 yak per reception. Did have 114 passer rating throwing to him, so not a problem there.
What's the biggest issue there with the yak? Why do you think he's not getting it?
Well,
is it because, see, I can say to you that it's where the ball is delivered that he's not getting yak. Because Jeremy and I are number one on Drake May guys.
Okay.
We're not Drake May guys. So sometimes when guys
that size. Brother better. He hit the big shot for UNC.
Sometimes when guys that size with that kind of quickness don't get yak, it's ball placement. So I don't know why he's not getting yak.
It certainly could be, and if he had a very poor hitch routes where he only got 5.2 yards per target, so a lot of these may have been throws where May felt like he had to protect the football close to the ground and DeVontez Walker had to go down and get it.
Okay.
Those kind of plays happen. But he also has a number of go routes where he gets behind the defense and gets a big play, and those should make up for a lot of that yak. Very good vertical threat anyway, so hopefully he stretches defenses for the Ravens.
Yeah, I had a chance yesterday after the show to talk to Vinny a little bit, and we were talking about Walker specifically,
yeah.
and he was very high on him, talking about Mac Brown and saying that if this guy had stayed in the system, could have been a first-round pick next year. He is a project. He needs some help. He needs the route tree and some other things. But, you know, and I think he said he had, what, 3 for 75 against Wiggins, I believe, or 4 for 75?
The only long catch against Wiggins, the 43. I don't know how many he had in the game in total.
Yeah, I think it was 75 yards. I don't know how many catches. But, you know, like, so even with him being a project, there's some interest there and different things you can do with him. What about the running back? Because I've heard, I read the thing from, who were we talking about? Eric Edholm, where he was talking about scouts yeah. saying, this looks like a Ravens day 3 pick. And then sure enough, he gets drafted. Fumbling issues, not really a home run hitter, but they like him. There's something there.
Yeah, you know, it's probably the first pick where I thought they like strayed from value and went more to need. I thought there were better value picks at that point. I can go into that if you like. But good yards per carry at Marshall, but honestly hasn't been a good Yakko guy in the last season, yards after contact. And that's where you kind of have to separate the player from his own offensive line. But the Ravens will get him some good level 2 opportunities, hopefully, and they'll still scheme those up and give him some opportunities. I think he'd be a great guy to have in sometimes on a pony backfield. So if you want to misdirect with Derrick Henry and have Ali doing something else on the field, I think that'd be good. I'm optimistic about it. Good. There are 4 players on the board I would have rather had at that point, though. Javon Solomon of Troy, the edge rusher. Keaton Oladapo, the safety of Oregon State. Trevor Keegan, the guard from Michigan. And Christian Mahogany, who dropped unfathomably far in this draft. Obviously due to medicals, but he would have been the last one, the guard from Boston College.
Kim McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Ken, we've often seen backup quarterbacks who are similar to the skill set of Lamar Jackson. Devin Leary is not. And even you said, you kind of echoed what Jeremy said. This is a guy you could have gotten undrafted. Why did the Ravens pick him in the 6th round?
I guess they must have felt like somebody else was going to draft him. It seemed like a pretty significant overdraft. On a consensus board, I saw he was about 253, so about a 35 pick over. He was in the SEC for 1 year where he had a rough go of it, 4 years previous in the ACC, which we talked about, kind of a AAA conference to the SEC,
yeah.
right? And then he had a great time, 60-some touchdowns and 16 or so interceptions in his 4 years at NC State before he 25-12 in his last year. It gives the Ravens a different look if Lamar has to miss a few games. So it'll be a hard thing to re-scheme, but also a hard thing to scheme against.
Can I give you my theory on why they drafted him?
Please.
And I said this to Jeremy. Let's say he goes undrafted.
You don't know.
You have a team that has a 2-time MVP quarterback. If I go undrafted, why would I choose Baltimore when there may be opportunities for quarterbacks who are on thin ice, older quarterbacks? So I don't know if they felt like somebody else would draft him. I think they probably felt like he has two things going against him. He got one of the best quarterbacks in the game, and this offense doesn't suit me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Leary would have picked the Ravens to come to if he was undrafted.
Very fair thing. They did have 2 sevens, of course, to draft him with. But,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask about the 2 sevens. Anything there? The only thing I know is the kid from Michigan State can sing.
Yeah, the kid from Michigan State,
Nick Samak,
decent run blocker, not a great pass blocker. So we'll see. Hopefully they can make him into a slightly better player here. I think he's a backup center only. I think from what I've seen in college, if he were to be up against some three techs in this league, that would be very tough for him. And the Ravens have made some very unathletic players like Bradley Bozeman, like James Hurst, into great pullers from left guard. So it's possible he could work out. Sanusi Kane, I'm not as optimistic about. He really did not exactly fit the Ravens' need for a Tampa 2 safety.
Special teams wise?
Yeah, like, that's why they would like him for that. And he's a dime prospect, but he's not really a back-end cover 2 prospect.
Kevin Cusick, thank you very much. Tell folks all about how to follow you on social media and about Film Study Baltimore.
So at Film Study Ravens on Twitter and on filmstudybaltimore.com, we have podcasts, and these 5 or 7 minutes we did here is expanded to 2 hours. They're talking about all the prospects in the draft.
How did your draft party go?
It's great. So, you know, we stayed all the way to 250 when the Ravens picked last, and had people on the whole time.
Woo, buddy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.